This is our first party convention after the general elections. When I called the elections this year, I had been Prime Minister for 1 year and your Secretary General for 6 months. I knew it was important for me and my team to seek a fresh mandate from Singaporeans so that we could lead and take Singapore forward in this changed world. It was a hard-fought battle, and today I stand before you deeply grateful and humbled by the support and trust that Singaporeans have given to me, my team, and to the PAP. Thank you for believing in us. We went into GE 2025 knowing that it would not be an easy fight. Cost of living pressures were top of mind for many Singaporeans. This was a global issue, but the opposition worked up anxiety and frustration in our people and tried to pin the blame on us. Singaporeans appreciated the support packages that we had rolled out. They tell me, "Thank you for the vouchers." Please give us more. But they also say, PAP has done well, but we want more opposition voices to check on you. So we took that seriously, and we went to the ground to convince Singaporeans with our record, our sincerity, and our plans for the future. Some predicted that the uncertain external environment would bring about a flight to safety. But I took no comfort in that, because I remembered what happened in the last election in GE 2020. It was held in the middle of COVID. But there was no flight to safety. Instead, the opposite happened. Our vote share fell, and the opposition doubled their seats in Parliament. So I took nothing for granted. And indeed, GE 2025 turned out to be a tough and intense fight. We made many tactical changes to our lineup right up to nomination day. Gan Kim Yong and Tan Si Ling will tell you all about this. For 9 days straight, our candidates and activists walked the ground, rallied supporters, and met residents across the island. We stayed vigilant against attempts, both internal and external, to fan racial and religious sentiments for political gain. And up till the last day of campaigning, the key constituencies were still too close to call. Some well-meaning party members and friends sent me messages. They wanted to prepare me, so they shared with me all kinds of predictions. Your vote share will be lower, because all new prime ministers start with a lower vote share, for example. Be prepared, you may lose one or two single seats. And some would say, one or two GRCs might be lost. I'm sure you saw all these messages circulating around. So I was mentally prepared for all outcomes. When the results came out, the same people who had messaged me earlier said to me, "Sorry, we should have more confidence in you." But I told them there's no need to apologize. You were all right to sound a note of caution. Because in an election, no one can ever be certain of the outcome until the ballot boxes are opened and the votes are counted. The media described the election as a landslide victory for the PAP. But to me, it was not a landslide. We had very tough fights in several constituencies. Just a small swing against the PAP, and the results would have been very different. And if that had happened, the mood at today's party convention would be very different. So I come out of GE 2025 with an overwhelming sense of humility and gratitude. Humility, because the elections remind us in no uncertain terms that power ultimately lies with our people. As a party, as MPs, as branch chairs, as activists, we can only do our best. In the end, Singaporeans decide. And that keeps us grounded. That reminds us that we are here to serve our fellow Singaporeans. Always remember, comrades, a strong mandate given by the people today can swiftly be taken away tomorrow. The voice of our people is an awesome thing, to be respected, to be feared even, and always to be taken seriously. I also felt gratitude. Gratitude because Singaporeans had chosen to place their trust in me and my team. And I do not take this trust lightly. My team and I will work hard every day to honour the trust. And I'm especially grateful that voters gave us their support in Tampines and Punggol. If we had lost these two GRCs, the message would have been serious and far-reaching. Losing Tampines would have suggested that the Workers' Party's calculated appeal to Malay Muslim voters was an effective strategy. This would have encouraged other political parties to do the same, and that would only harm our social cohesion and lead to a divided Singapore. If Punggol had gone to the Workers' Party, it would have sent the wrong message, that voters didn't care about the proven abilities and steady leadership of an experienced minister like DPM Gunn. Singapore would have lost our very capable task force man. But instead, the strong mandate that Singaporeans give to the PAP sends a clear message to the world that Singaporeans take elections seriously and understand what's at stake. That we don't take chances with our future. We don't gamble with what we've built together. That we will not be swayed by populist appeals or racially tinged appeals. So when I speak to my counterparts today, when I speak to foreign leaders today, I speak with quiet confidence because I know that I speak on behalf of a clear-eyed and united people. I speak on behalf of Singaporeans who stand for stability, progress and unity. Singaporeans who stand with the PAP because we have always stood with them. So, comrades, we are grateful to Singaporeans for their support. But I also have no doubt that the elections turned out the way they did only because our candidates, activists, and volunteers worked very hard on the ground. In every election, including this one, one key lesson stands out. Groundwork matters. Yes, voters care about cost of living and other national issues. They also care about municipal issues. But above all, they care most about the candidate, whether he or she can bond and connect with them, can get things done, and improve their lives. And across the island, our candidates and their teams made all the difference. Not just during the 9 days of campaigning, but over 5 years of hard and patient work. Walking the ground, improving our estates, solving residents' problems, and most importantly, earning their trust. Some of you had tougher fights. You know who you are. But you never gave up. You showed your conviction, courage and steel. You fought hard for every vote. You stood your ground and you stood tall. Well done. I especially thank our activists who supported us, including those who will be receiving their party awards later, as well as the many volunteers, including our brothers and sisters in the union and NTUC, who stood shoulder and shoulder with our candidates and branch chairs and helped us through the campaign. Thank you, all of you. Much of your work is unseen by the public, but you are our unsung heroes, the heart and soul of the PAP. Many of you spent countless evenings and weekends preparing, planning, and carrying out our campaign. You did not do it for recognition or reward, but because you believe in our cause and you believe in Singapore. We salute every one of you. I also want to give a special shout out to our comrades who fought in the opposition wards of Aljunied, Hougang and Sengkang. They are all here. Hui, Adrian, Daniel, Faisal, Jager, Marshall, Tin Min, Bernadette, Elmi, Theodora and their teams. You had the toughest mission of all, but you never wavered. You showed all of us what it means to serve with heart, courage and purpose. And you reminded Singaporeans what the PAP stands for and why we continue to fight for every Singaporean in every part of the island. We are proud of all of you. All in all, comrades, this has been a tough but deeply rewarding campaign. So to everyone, once again, I say thank you. Thank you for your hard work, your sacrifice, and your unshakable faith in the PAP and in our cause. We've just begun our new term of government. We will deliver what we set out in our election manifesto. And there are important tasks ahead of us. First, we will secure Singapore's place in this changed world. The world has always been a dangerous place, but it is getting worse. The changes are clear, from free trade to protectionism, from globalization to economic nationalism, from multilateralism to might is right. And these are not just passing storms. They are deep structural shifts. And they will affect the survival and success of small open economies like Singapore. For decades, our success rested on an open global economy. What does that mean? To put in simple terms, this is what happened. After the end of the Second World War, America and the West were prepared to outsource production to lower-cost countries in Asia. So you see, Japan led the way first. They industrialized and made remarkable progress in the 50s and 60s. Then the Asian tigers followed. The Asian tigers are Hong Kong, Taiwan, Korea, and Singapore. We followed similar paths to move up the value chain. And later, other Southeast Asian countries and China adopted the same model, industrializing rapidly and catching up with the rest of the world. And this model worked very well. It lifted hundreds of millions out of poverty and benefited all countries. In the West, the consumers enjoyed cheaper goods. In Asia, countries gained technology and know-how. Lives were improved and countries around the region were transformed for the better. But now this model is under greater strain because the major powers are turning inwards. They want to rebuild their industrial bases. No more offshoring production. We want to have manufacturing back home in our own countries. They are restricting access to cutting-edge technologies. So the rules that enabled small countries like ours to prosper are now being rolled back. And we must find new ways to create relevance and opportunities for Singaporeans. We cannot afford to sit back and hope that things will somehow just fall in place. We must make things happen. And that's why we have been busy traveling, engaging, and building partnerships around the world. And this is not just the work of MFA. Vivian and his team are in the thick of it. But it's not just MFA's job. Every minister, every ministry will have to step up their international engagements. I too have to travel, and I'm spending time visiting and building relationships with my counterparts. Some of you might remember Mr. Lee Kuan Yew and what he did in 1964 when Singapore was still part of Malaysia. Mr. Lee led a mission to Africa. He visited 17 African capitals over 35 days. Imagine that, more than a month, to rally support for Malaysia at that time. And he built close links with the newly independent African nations who, like us, were finding their place in the world. And many of these friendships endure to this day. Of course, our context today is different. We are stronger, with deeper capabilities and greater resilience. But remember, we are still a small country with no natural resources. And in this changed world, we must redouble our efforts and work hard to stay relevant. And that's why we are expanding our diplomatic reach. And we will do more in regions like Latin America and Africa. In fact, later this month, I'll be traveling again, indeed to Africa, to South Africa for the G20 and to Ethiopia for a bilateral visit. I cannot match Mr. Lee's 35-day trip across Africa. But it's the start of more engagements with a vast continent, including setting up new diplomatic missions there. And we are also deepening ties with existing partners. In the past year alone, we have upgraded or launched 6 strategic partnerships: Vietnam, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, as well as France and Germany in Europe. These overseas efforts may seem rather abstract and remote to Singaporeans, but they matter deeply to our livelihoods and to our future, because they open real doors for our businesses to expand, for Singaporeans to have new opportunities, and importantly, for Singapore to secure the space we need to thrive in a more uncertain and contested world. So yes, comrades, Singapore is small, but we have agency, credibility, and we have friends who want to work with us. And we will harness these strengths to navigate this changed world and keep Singapore safe, secure, and successful. Our second priority is to keep our economy competitive and strong so that Singaporeans can continue to have good jobs and better lives. We have built a strong reputation as a trusted business hub. CEOs and business leaders tell me, what makes Singapore stand out is our stability, our reliability, and our ability to deliver consistently. But we cannot rely on these strengths alone. The world is changing fast, and the challenges ahead are real and mounting. And as the global economy begins to fragment, companies are rewiring their supply chains, shifting trade routes, as well as flows of capital. We have to make sure that Singapore stays at the center of these new flows and not get bypassed by them. So amidst all these changes, new opportunities will emerge. But to seize them, we must be ready. Ready to question old assumptions, to refresh our thinking, and update our policies. We must dare to take risks, move quickly, and innovate boldly. We must be willing to experiment, fail sometimes, but importantly, learn and try again. Because this is the only way a small nation can thrive and flourish and stay exceptional. And that's why DPM Ghan is leading an effort now with a team of younger office holders to chart a new blueprint for our economy. The team has been busy and they have organized themselves to do this work systematically. There's Jeffrey Siow and Low Yen Ling working on global competitiveness. Jasmine Lau, Gohan Yen on technology and innovation. Alvin Tan and Dinesh Vasudesh on entrepreneurship. David New and Koh Poh Koon on human capital. Goh Pei Min and Desmond Chu on managing the impact of restructuring. So they have been hard at work, involving key industry leaders and union leaders in their deliberations. They aim to have their first set of recommendations ready by early next year. And I look forward to receiving them so that the government can give our response in Budget 2026. Restructuring and transformation is never easy. We must accept some downsizing and even retrenchments in some areas. This is not necessarily a sign of failure. It is part of the renewable cycle of a healthy and vibrant economy. There will be change. There will be some churn. Our job as a government is not to stop the change, but to help our people ride through it, to give them the skills, support and confidence to seize new opportunities and ensure that no one is left behind. And that leads me to our third priority, to provide assurance and support to Singaporeans and to keep our society strong and united, to be that we first society that many speakers just now talked about. So we are reviewing our policies across all the key areas, especially in education, healthcare, housing, and retirement. In MOE and MND, we have new ministers, Desmond and Hong Tat. They have quickly mastered their new portfolios and they are hard at work reviewing our systems and studying how we can make them better. At MOH and MOM, we have two experienced ministers, Yi Kang and Si Ling. They were there in the last term, but both of them have unfinished business, because they had initiated important reviews and reforms in the last term and will carry them through in this term. So our ministers are all hard at work. And importantly, all of these efforts are about one thing, enabling every Singaporean to look to the future with confidence. We will keep strengthening our social safety nets so that whatever your background or circumstance, you do not have to walk this journey alone. The PAP will always have your back. I know that for many Singaporeans, jobs are a growing concern. That's why our mayors have come together to launch a new Jobs Nearby at CDC initiative. But our work is not confined to the community level. Nationwide, we are pushing ahead with new initiatives to grow our economy and to translate that growth into better jobs, better pay, better lives for every worker. And as we do this, we will keep faith with our brothers and sisters in the labour movement too. The partnership between the PAP government, NTUC and our employers is the bedrock of tripartism in Singapore. It's what makes our system unique and what has powered our success, not just as an economy, but also as a nation. In many other countries, employers and unions clash and fight, and they are locked in conflict. But in Singapore, we work hand in hand. In Singapore, to our employers, unions are not the enemy. To unions, profits is not a bad word. When I share this with my foreign counterparts, they are astonished. They say, how is this possible? It is possible in Singapore only because of the PAP and NTUC symbiotic partnership. Ours is a long-standing partnership, as you heard just now, a long-standing partnership built on trust, trust that's forged over decades of shared struggle and shared purpose. Together, we work to grow the pie and we share the fruits fairly. That is the Singapore way. So to our NTUC brothers and sisters, thank you for your steadfast support. Our partnership is not just about collective bargaining. It is about collective progress. Together, we will protect and uplift every worker because every worker matters. Beyond these policy priorities, the PAP must also set the tone for politics in Singapore. Just look around the world. So many countries you can see where politics has taken a darker turn. How did this happen? It often starts small, a distortion here, a half-truth here, a little bit of a lie here. Then bit by bit, the trust is eroded and societies start to fracture. Each harmful move by itself may not seem like a very big thing. You distort facts to score some political points. Use race and religion to build a little bit more support. Take some populist stance to chase applause rather than to solve problems. But each time this happens, if no one calls it out, then it becomes less outrageous, less shocking. It becomes more normalized. And eventually, the small things add up. When one party takes this approach, others are likely to follow suit. And then before long, politics and political discourse turns toxic and society gets divided. This is what happens in many places. We cannot allow this to happen in Singapore. So each time we see something that crosses the line, we call it out. And we hold ourselves and others to the same standard. Some say that the PAP is nitpicking. We are finding fault. We should be more relaxed and just leave things be. But if we keep quiet each time, then the boundary is pushed back a little. And you can be sure our politics will gradually take a turn for the worse. In fact, if the PAP only cared about short-term political expediency, it would have been far easier for us to keep quiet and leave such matters unsaid. Because each time we call out bad behaviour, there will be naysayers who accuse the PAP of being overbearing or accuse us of bullying. So speaking up does carry some political cost to us. But keeping quiet carries a greater cost to our country, to our values, to our standards, and to Singapore's future. And that's why we stand firm as a party. We speak up not because of partisanship, but out of a deep sense of duty and responsibility to keep politics in Singapore clean, honest, and constructive. Comrades, that's what it means to be the PAP, to stand for integrity and multiracialism, to do what is right, and to always put Singapore and Singaporeans at the centre of everything we do. That is what it means to stand and wear our party whites. That is who we are, and that is who we must always be. This responsibility is a heavy one to bear. It will take the best people, both in terms of competence and character, to see it through. And that is why, as Party Chairman Desmond Lee said just now, we are pressing on with our efforts to refresh the party and engage more widely with Singaporeans from all segments of society. We welcome all who share our vision and values and would like to make common cause with the PAP to build a better Singapore together. And as we do so, we will continue to renew our ranks and bring in Singaporeans, more Singaporeans, to join us, Singaporeans with the ability and integrity, as well as the commitment and conviction to serve their fellow Singaporeans. Only then can the PAP be a national party, one that represents and serves our citizens from all walks of life. I remember a conversation I had with SM Lee back in 2006. He was then Prime Minister. I was his principal private secretary. 2006, remember, was an election year. So the GE was just over, a little bit like now. And I said to him, we can finally take a breather. We can relax. But he said, no, there's still a lot of urgent work to do, especially to renew the party. I was a bit surprised, and I was thinking to myself, I didn't say it to him, but I was thinking to myself, why the rush? You have just secured your first election as Prime Minister. Surely you have time. Now it's my turn. Now I understand the urgency. Because there's no time to waste. You have to give the next generation enough time. Time to learn, to prepare, and importantly, to earn the confidence and trust of fellow Singaporeans. And if you miss one cycle, you lose 5 years. That's a lot of time. Fortunately, we made good progress in this general election. We have 27 new and first-term members of parliament. And within just a few months, they have made their presence felt, built strong relationships on the ground, and made tangible improvements for their residents. I can't go through all 27 names, but let me name a few of them. Hamid Raza. He grew up in Jurong. He met then MP President Tahaman at a house visit when he was still a medical student. Hamid started serving as a community volunteer and a PAP activist, and he's been serving for a long time. And he now continues to serve Jurong residents as MP. In fact, he has regular chit-chat with Dr. PAP sessions, and he cares for his residents, not just as an MP, but also as a doctor. Well done, Hamid. We have Haslina Binti Abdul Halim. We all know her as a former broadcast journalist. She's made an impact. She delivered her maiden speech in Parliament in all four official languages. And she's continuing to make an impact on the ground in Fengshan, where she's working hard to uplift vulnerable families. And I should also mention Cassandra Lee. She too was a long-time activist with the PAP, followed in her mother's footsteps, and served with Grace Fu at Yihua, both mother and daughter. Now she's moved nearby to be an MP at Ayer Rajah. She's our youngest MP, and she's championing young families and building a more connected and inclusive neighbourhood for all. As I said, I don't have time to go through all 27 names. I've just highlighted three, but all our MPs are making an impact on the ground. So continue to support them and serve our fellow Singaporeans well. Besides renewing our team across the board, I've also taken steps to renew our cabinet team, the office holders. In the previous term of government, I was one of the youngest ministers in cabinet. Today, I have more younger colleagues. Ministers and ministers of state like Jeffrey, David, Dinesh, Jasmine, Pei Ming, and Zul, who will be joining us soon. They and the other new office holders bring fresh energy, new perspectives, and deep commitment to serve Singaporeans. They are leading major policy reviews. I mentioned what they are doing just now as part of our economic refresh. They are representing Singapore on the world stage and building deeper connections with their fellow Singaporeans. My comrades, this is just the beginning. I am still looking for more people. I am still looking for capable Singaporeans with the conviction to serve, to join us in this mission. And I hope to attract more potential office holders who are prepared to step forward to serve in politics. Because renewal must never stop. We now have a cabinet made up largely of 4G ministers, with some 3G veterans. Before too long, it will be a complete 4G cabinet with a few 5G ministers. And by the next election, I hope we can start to see the outlines of a new 5G team emerging. And that's how we pass the torch from one generation to another generation. That's how we ensure Singapore continues to move forward and stay exceptional as a country and as a people. Comrades, we have done well in this election. GE 2025 gives us a good base to work from. Let us make the most of this opportunity. Remember, the next election will be a new battle. If you thought GE 2025 was tough, brace yourself. The next one will be even tougher. Singaporeans have high expectations and exacting standards. They will judge us not just by what we say, but by our actions and what we do. They will ask, have you delivered on your promises? Have we improved their lives? Do we have the right people, policies and plans to take Singapore forward? So there is much for us to do. We have a full agenda ahead of us. Let us hunker down, get the work done, get it done well. Then, when the next GE comes, be it in 2030 or maybe earlier, it can be earlier, you know. Then, when the next election comes, the PAP will be ready. We will be ready to face Singaporeans with confidence and with conviction. And when we are asked, we will be able to say clearly and proudly, yes, we have delivered. And importantly, yes, we will continue to deliver. We will always give our best for Singapore and Singaporeans. So, comrades, this is our mission. We've had a good GE, but let us not be complacent. Let us work hard. Let us take it forward from here. Let us go forth from this convention, renewed in our purpose, united in spirit, and determined to secure a brighter future for all. Majulah PAP, Majulah Singapura. Thank you very much.